He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Father, how awesome it is to be in your presence and to be in the presence of all your children and your saints. Thank you this morning for being an honored and privileged vessel of clay that you have chosen to use. I pray, O God, that you will sanctify my lips. I pray that the things that I speak shall come from your throne room. I pray, O God, that I shall not please men, but I shall please you who called me. And I pray, Holy Spirit, my helper, apart from you I can do nothing, but with you I can do all things. Let the word of God have free course. Let the word of God be glorified. Let the word of God not come back void, but let it accomplish that for which it has been sent this morning. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And whose covering I stand this morning. It is through his obedience to Christ that I have also found a niche in ministry and found something to do. And I thank God for his obedience and also for the grace not to have aborted whatever he was carrying at that time. And I thank you for releasing me to be here. This morning I hope to be brief because I think that time is far spent. But I want to speak about something I believe God has been ministering to me personally about. And that is those in authority over your life. Those in authority over your life. 1 Timothy 2 verse 2. 1 Timothy 2 verse 2. Those in authority over your life. All right, we read it. Let's read from verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then there's a semicolon. Next verse. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Next verse. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen. I have personally been disturbed about things going on around us in the world, in the news, sometimes in the church, in the Christian world. And I every time I see or hear something, I say, God, what is happening? What is happening to your church? What is happening to the body of believers? What's going on? For instance, some people say they are Christians. They may even have a pastor and everything. But they'll be the ones to pass the laws about gay marriage. And then other religions who don't know Christ or never profess to have even known him, rather wouldn't do such things. I look in the news and other things seem to be taking over. I look in the church world and I don't know whether we are in the world or the world is in us. I don't get it. And I have the uncommon, is it privilege, opportunity of hearing a lot of bizarre stories because of my work as a pastor. Not necessarily even in Lighthouse, but a lot of outsiders come for pastoral counsel. And the things they tell me sometimes leave me very broken, and I go home and I just cry. And at a point, God said to me, I love these people more than you love them. So you don't have to carry all the burdens, and sometimes I would not even be able to sleep. And I started to ask God, I said, darkness is covering everywhere. What do we do? You know? And the Lord took me to Isaiah 60, I believe, verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his light, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So he was saying that darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness is the kind that you can't see when you are in it. You see, in Ghana, we are experiencing something we call doom. So, doom means off. Put the light off. And so means on. So on and off. Because that's how the electric power is. But this one is doom. Remember, the Bible talks about gross darkness. There's gross darkness in our personal lives. There's gross darkness in our marriages. The divorce rate among Christians is the same as the world, if not higher. Christians are freaking out just like the world. But Jesus said he would live in us. He would give us power. He said we'll be the light. He said we'll be the salt. So where is all that? And the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, as for darkness, it will cover the earth. And gross darkness, the people. But you as a child of God can still rise and shine. And the Lord will still rise upon you, and his glory shall still be seen. And the Holy Spirit took me also to John 1, for it says that the light shines in darkness. So even in darkness, light can shine. Lady Reverend, what is light? The Bible says he was the light of the world. He is the light of the world. It says the light came into this dark world. And the Bible is saying no matter the darkness, it will not overcome the light. And as a church, that has been the verse the church has stood on. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Amen. So as I was asking God, so how do we rise? How do we shine? He said, begin to pray for those in authority, because they are the ones who affect your lives. I said, Lord, really, like who? He said, I said kings. Kings are people who make laws, legislators, congress members, presidents. They are the ones who make laws that affect you. Amen? Amen. And I said, Lord, and who? I said, those in authority. I said, Lord, who are those in authority? He said, parents are those in authority. Husbands are those in authority. Many people have bizarre marriages because of the one they are under. Amen? As soon as your head is not working well, your neck can be working well, your stomach is working well, but it will all be affected. It will just be working. Why? Because your head is not working well. Those in authority are those in your workplace that sometimes make your life so miserable and make your life so challenging. Those in your workplace who go for board meetings and you are not there, and they just speak and your destiny changes, and your power as a Christian is in your prayer. But what we do is to just watch the news and go to WhatsApp, what is happening, and post the things. You won't believe it. What is the world coming to? God help us. Hey, what's going on? Whatever. Convert all that into prayer. Wow. Because the WhatsApp messages and all that are not going to change anything. And when Satan wants to attack you, the first line of attack is the person in authority in your life. Lady Reverend, why do you say that? Because the Bible is replete with so many examples of those in authority. And why does it say that we should pray for those in authority? It says that so that we, it's for our benefit, we may lead a quiet and peaceable. There's too much war in your home. There's too much war even in your finances and in your workplace. There's too much chaos where you are. Because the person in authority over you is making things, the temperature high. So you can't lead a quiet and peaceable life. Sometimes you can't live in godliness and honesty because of the person in authority over you. You have now become corrupt, crooked, whatever, because the type of authority over you is dictating a lot of things. That if you were to walk in the light, it's like it doesn't work. And God has shown us the solution. Pray for those in authority. And when there's no quietness and peaceableness in your life, you can't build anything. The Bible says David was not able to build God a temple because there were too many wars. So God told Solomon, you have a time of peace, so you will build. But your father, his hands are stained with blood. He's fighting Philistines, he's fighting Saul, he's fighting Amalekite, he's fighting. But you have come to a time of rest and you can build. So even the work of God, because you can't live a quiet and peaceable life. You have never prayed about the kingdom of God. Everything is about you. Because you have no quiet and peaceable life in your life. But God says the key is to pray for those in authority over you. And that is why when you are choosing your head, ladies, choose your head properly. You can see that this head does not have a head. Amen, somebody. And you are following the head who does not have a head. Unbelieving head. Sometimes I get surprised when I counsel and say, hey, Reverend, we are not married, but he beats me. Hey, it is a sign of things to come. But you are telling me you are crying and you are still following. A man who doesn't fear God. A man to whom church is nothing. You tell me that you are beautiful. A lady told me, lady, I'm so beautiful. When I go down the street, men just turn their head. And when I told my husband, I said, anyway, she said she's very beautiful. She was going to get married. I said, she said she's very beautiful. Men just, she's very beautiful. I agree. My husband said, really? The first day I saw her, I just saw demons dancing. I didn't see what you are saying. And truly, the manifestation came over in a few, whatever. The marriage was over. Because she felt that she could base it on her beauty. So I'm beautiful. Lady Reverend, I'm beautiful. When I go down the street, I'm beautiful. But when Satan comes knocking on your door, it's not even Miss America that will save you, but the name of Jesus and the thus saith the word and the prayer that you have prayed are what make a difference. So you have to choose your head with precision. Because whatever he does affects you. Another person in authority over your life is your pastor. Your pastor is in authority. And so many lives are linked to that pastor. That's why we must pray for them. Because if the pastor is disengaged, it's like a magnet. Everything else that is attached also falls away. And it's not easy that way. That's why Satan attacks those in authority. Because he knows that when he has that, everything else is done. Amen. Now, what are the examples of some of the people in authority in our lives? When you look at Esther, somebody in authority rose up to kill all the Jews. So the person in authority over your life is so important. He can just get up, make a law, and suddenly you are bound by that law. Amen. Amen. But Christians don't see that. And also, whenever God tells us something, we feel that, oh, I don't know whether we think it's a hobby or he's just talking. We don't get it. 2 Samuel 24 verse 10. David got up and then he numbered Israel. When God had not asked him to number Israel, he just got up and said, oh, I think I want to number Israel. And then he numbered them and had figures for them. And in verse 10, and David had smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose the one that I may do it unto thee. So God came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of farming come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto God, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel, not upon David who had sinned, but upon Israel, from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people of Dan, from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunna the Jebusite. And this is the verse. And David spake unto the Lord, when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Amen. David was saying, I sinned. But it seems that the repercussions have affected the whole of Israel. And 70,000 people have died because of the one in authority, the king, under whose reign you are. You, an innocent person, you are going about your duties. But the person who is over you has done something. And in punishing the person, because you are linked to that person, your life is affected. And David even sees it and says, Lord, I sinned. But these sheep, what did they do? And that is why God in his wisdom, through the inspiration of Apostle Paul, tells you and I, pray for kings and for all that in authority, because the things they do affect you. Amen? Amen. The things they decide affect you. So you have to do something about it. Amen. If you look in the book of Esther got married, it looked like everything had gone well and all that, but there was a man called Haman. He came and spoke to the king. Oh, these Jews, they are certain people, they try to do things differently, they don't behave well, and the king bought into it. And he took off his ring and gave it to him. I said that, this is my stamp. Everything you say, just do it. And Haman said, okay, we are going to wipe out all the Israelites. We are going to take away all their property. And we are going to annihilate them. They are not going to exist. I believe that Satan could see that the seed will come from there. So every time he could see in the future, and then he will strategically destroy through kings. And what happened is that Mordecai got Esther to agree. Esther chapter 4. Verse 15 to 16. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. It wasn't just Esther's connections. She said to Mordecai, yes, I'm the beauty queen. Yes, I've been selected above everybody. But when it comes to influencing a king, it takes prayer. So he says, go, fast ye for me 3 days and nights. Many of us like to hire prophets and pastors to do the praying and the seeing and the comforting for us. The prophetic is a gift that God brings, but it doesn't take away your responsibility to enter the closet and to seek God's face for that edict that the king has made concerning you. But these days, Christians are very lazy. So they say to the prophet, see something about me and tell me. And there are a lot of familiar spirits. Familiar spirits can tell you a lot of things. Saul consulted a woman who knew, was able to call the spirit of Samuel to come and speak and tell Saul what will happen to him. And it all happened. But the Bible says she was a woman with a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is an evil spirit that has been with you for a long time and knows a lot about you. But Esther didn't say, you know how I'm in the palace. You go. You are the prayer warriors. Go and pray for me. She said that. But she said, I and my maidens also in the palace. We will also fast and pray. Then I will go to the king. Although there's a law against what I'm going to do, I am going to pray for the person in authority. I am going to seek God's face concerning that. And there's going to be a change. Amen. Most of us will say, Mordecai, go and organize the people. That's for me. Christians today, they can't even fast though. And Jesus said, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. And I tell my husband, maybe we were raised by a great generation. A generation that when you get born again today, the next day you are fasting. And you don't even know that it's not normal. You know that that's the Christian life. That's how it is. You know? So you are used to fasting, praying, using the name of Jesus, the authority of the believer. But the Christians of today, when you say fast, you say, okay, break at 12, and then you are 20, you are breaking at 12 for what? What medical problems do you have? But Esther said, go and pray for me. Why? Because she recognized that the one in authority was the only one who could reverse that edict against the Jews. And her prayer worked. You see, you want to pray other topics. Oh God, give me this. Oh God. It's okay. He said we should bring our needs to him. But what is hampering that thing from reaching you is the person in authority over your life. Amen. So Esther did the right thing. When you look at Moses, it is a king who rose up and did not know Joseph and said, I've changed the law. These people are growing too powerfully. And they are very mighty. He said, they may soon be mightier than us. Every nation fears those who come from outside and prosper. And it's not now. It's been since the time of Moses. And then he said, okay, I'm going to change the law. Every baby boy that's born is going to be killed. Kings and those in authority. They have power. And they can misuse power. And they can fight the church of God through the power that they have. And that's why God said, there's a higher power than them. And if you would tap into that higher power, your life can be different. Amen. Amen. And so although they killed every boy that came with Moses, the Bible says when the time of promise drew near, the agitation also drew near. And then his mother just saw and said, he's a goodly child. So I'll keep him. I am sure that it took the Holy Spirit to know a baby to be a goodly child. How will you know? But Satan also knows. So he goes through the person in authority over your life. So that before even the destiny God has given you will unfold, a king should pass a law so that you will not even live. You will be finished. You will be finished before you are even born. He attacks you even from the womb. And he doesn't come directly. He goes through kings and those in authority over our lives. When you look at the birth of Jesus, the same thing happened. Matthew 2 verse 20, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Amen. If you want to destroy Jesus, don't kill his mother. Don't kill his father, because he may still continue to live. Make a law that affects him and make a law that ensures that he will not be alive. So he makes a law that when I calculate from the wise men and all that, he may be around 2 years and under. So every baby boy from around 2 years and under is to be slaughtered. Kings and those in authority. Why? Because Satan can see the Messiah to save us from hell, free us from all chains. What he's coming to do is deadly. How shall I attack him? Through a king making a law that kills what God is doing. We are in trouble. But thank God that there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Amen. Acts chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But what?
Prayer.
But what?
Prayer.
Gossiping. No. Conversations. No. Discussions. No. Looking for who we have connections with. No. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. The Bible says Herod was the one in power. And when he saw that he had killed James, the brother of the Lord, and it pleased the Jews, it was bringing votes from Ohio and Iowa and the caucuses. It was bringing in votes. He saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded. He stretched forth his hand to take Peter also. The Bible didn't say that when James was taken, prayer was made. But when Peter was taken, I suppose the church was shocked when James was taken. But when Peter was taken, said, it's too much now. So the Bible says, but prayer was made for Peter by the church unto God. So Herod, yes, he imprisoned Peter. He felt very powerful, whatever. But the prayer of the church, the king in authority was persecuting the church. But the prayer of the church brought Peter out. So prayer was made of the church unceasingly. Unceasingly. Amen. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, they brought Peter out miraculously, angels. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. What was happening? Many were gathered together gossiping. Many were gathered together drinking tea. Many were gathered together having business meetings. Many were gathered together praying. These days, Christians don't gather in a house to pray. When I was growing up as a Christian, if a Christian came to visit you, before he leaves, there's prayer. If a Christian comes to visit you, he comes to share the word. It was so natural. So today I learned in my quiet time that this, what did you also learn? That was how. Even my husband, that's what annoyed me about him. Because when I was in Lagos, when I meet him, and he says, hello, sister, I say, hello, brother Doug. Hello, sister Adelaide. How are you? I say, I'm fine. I say, how are you? Oh, kebala mashande ne mama. Kelende ne mamaya mora mashande. I'm a born again Christian. I'm going to heaven. I'm bought with the blood. Demons tremble when I say, hey. But why? Oh. And the friend through whom I knew him, I said that this guy, he will never be my friend. He thinks that he's the only one going to heaven. What is that? And then later he became my friend, and then he will be saying, okay, sister, so should a Christian go to an unbeliever party or not? And I would say, well, it depends. So I said, depends on what? Okay, let's meet here tomorrow. Come with your pro-jam verses. I'll come with my anti-jam verses. Then he found my room. When he comes to my room, I'm talking to people, you know, these type of pseudo-Christians. We are chatting, talking about the economy. And then he says, last week we were talking about the new creature. We said that when a man is born again, I said, who spoils conversations like this? What type of person is that? But prayer makes a difference. And we all have to believe God to have the grace to pray. And also to pray biblical prayers. The church was gathered together praying. Praying. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one of the characters we can look at in praying for kings, and I've shown you that kings tried to affect the Jews in the time of Esther, in the time of Jesus, in the time of Peter, in the time of David, in the time of Moses. That's what was going on. But the last classic case will be in the book of Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. The king has a dream. He calls people to interpret. They are not able to interpret. Then they say there's a guy called Daniel who can interpret. They call Daniel, and Daniel says, I have to seek God before I'll know what to say. And his life is at stake. You see, people in power are so powerful. And in those days, even more so, they could just take your life away from you. You've had a dream. I can't interpret it. You said, for my life. Life for life. Kings and those in authority. You know? So, as Daniel is told that, the Bible says in Daniel 2:16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. 17, then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his friends. What do you talk to your friends about? Do you share prayer topics with your friends? Are your friends spiritual enough that you can go and say, oh, I went into the king and this has happened. Let's seek God's face concerning. Begin to choose your friends correctly.
Amen.
And Daniel told his companions that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Amen.
Amen.
And God answered that prayer. Amen. And gave Daniel what the dream was. But it was when he retired to his closet. When he went home, he didn't waste time calling people to say what tragedy has befallen him. We like sympathy too much sometimes. And we don't go to the right place. Instead of going to the throne, we go to the phone. But let us learn to go to the throne first. And when that happened, Daniel was set free. And then another time, they were thrown into the oven because they said that they will not bow to the king and his things. Amen. Daniel 3:28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. And have changed the king's word. And have changed the king's word. How did they change the king's word? Through prayer. Pray for those in authority. It doesn't matter that the law is cast in iron. Your prayer can change the king's word. It can change the word of the person in authority over you. It can change the king's word. And this is the king speaking.
You are listening to Honey on My Lips with Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills. Stay tuned in. Welcome back.
And changed the king's word. How did they do that? Did they go for debates? Did they look for petition and ask for more signatures? By prayer, they changed the king's word. You too can change the word of the kings in your life.
Amen.
By prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Then when you look at Daniel 6, 4 to 6, then the president, note the hierarchy, the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, who are these men? The presidents and the princes, those in authority. Amen. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Three powerful presidents, princes, and the king. They are having a meeting concerning you. Amen. Daniel 6 and verse, is it 15? Presidents, princes, governors, counselors, captains. Daniel 6 verse 7. Are you there? Presidents, princes, governors, counselors, captains. They did what? Have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Look, things are happening. The king is not enough now. Because later I have seen that when you prayed, the king, the word of the king was changed. So now, presidents, princes, counselors, captains, and the king himself. The conspiracy against your life is not an easy thing. But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 2. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. And what were they? Establish a royal statute to make a firm decree. Do you know what a firm decree is? It's a decree that cannot be easily changed, easily amended. I did legislative drafting. I know very well how a law must be amended. But this one, in the Constitution, we have what you call entrenched provisions. Those ones, you can't just amend them. It has to be by a 2/3 majority. There has to be a referendum. There has to be so many things before. So when they say a firm decree, they are laws and they are laws. Some laws can be amended easily. But when it's an entrenched provision, it's not easy. Amen. And some of them cannot be changed at all. So to make a firm decree concerning who? That whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. They are attacking their prayer life. Your prayer life. And its presidents, counselors, captains, kings, princes. Make a firm decree. That whoever does not pray to the king is not going to live. Kings and those in authority. Verse 10. What was Daniel's reaction? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Your house can become a place of prayer. Your house can become an altar. Your house, because Christians are blessed. Their God is everywhere. They don't have to make a journey and go around something and have stampedes to find him. Amen.
Amen.
And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And cried and complained and prayed. He didn't cry, didn't go, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 20, and when he came to the den, the king threw them into the den. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found on me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Amen. They were thrown into the lions' den. But that prayer made a difference. He said, my God has come through for me. That same God will come through for you.
Amen.
But you have to open your spiritual eyes and see that there are people in authority. Sometimes you have favor with your boss. Suddenly, somebody else has come to the office. And before you know, things are changing. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because when they go for staff meeting and they are judging, so how is it that you are a hard worker, you do your best, but because of certain political moves, somebody is going to say something. Why don't you enter your closet and condemn those tongues in the boardroom that rise up against you? As a child of God, you have that power. Amen. The final stages of Daniel. He's by a river seeking God's face because Israel has sinned. And Daniel is praying to God to please spare Israel for all their sins. And he decides that he will seek God's face. Amen. Daniel 9 verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. What the verse in Timothy said, for kings and all those are in all prayers, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings. And Daniel set his face to seek prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made supplication and my confession and said, Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping covenant, we have sinned. Note the fact I said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. Neither have we heard what you have said. Number six. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. When you don't listen to God speaking through your prophets, your kings, your princes, in accordance with what he is saying, your life is affected. Then Daniel prays, let your anger and all that. Verse 17, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. Verse 20. What happens in verse 20? And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Next verse. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening ovation. Amen. Then Daniel 10, 12 to 13. This is what Gabriel said to Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Gabriel said, the day you prayed, the answer was released. And I flew swiftly to bring the answer. But when I was coming down from heaven with the answer, not a servant, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Even in the spiritual realm, kings and those who are in authority are operating. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers. Those are the people in authority. It's not the people even down here doing the things. The people in authority are even in the realm of the spirit. And when we pray, the answer is supposed to come. Another king has come to fight the answer. To fight the answer. One day, the answer was given. But 21 days, there was a fight in the heavenlies. Amen? Michael, one of the chief princes. God also has chief princes. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Gabriel the angel is saying, I was coming with the answer. Then the prince of Persia withstood me. But Michael, God also released a higher principality. The chief of princes came to help me. Gabriel was a powerful angel. He came to announce the birth of Jesus and all that. Coming down with a prayer request, he was withstood for 21 days. Then you, what can you do? By your prayer, sent a chief prince to come and help your Gabriel so that the answer can come. Amen, church. God help us all. As we snore, watch unnecessary television, use unnecessary time on the phone, may we go into our closets. And I remained there. With who? The kings of Persia. I thought it was only one. They have also reinforced their position. I remained there with the kings of Persia. At first it was the king of Persia. Do you remember? Other kings, subdivisional. Have come to. Verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And it led to so many revelations about what God was going to do with his people in the future. Because he prayed. Daniel faced a lot of things from kings and those in authority. Amen. Amen. I believe that many wives should intercede for their husbands. Not long ago, I was with a group of business elders, we call them, business men. You know, I was talking to your wives and I said, they need to cover you with prayer because I think that when you go to work, a lot of things happen. And some of them are like investment bankers and they say, hey, a lot of things happen. And one of them said to me, if I even showed me the text, somebody would send an anonymous text. What are you doing this afternoon? Would you like some sex for lunch break? Says, hey, who is this? Very lewd. So he was very angry. And then he decided to trace from the phone company where that number was coming from. It was somebody in his team in the bank. So, but he did a very foolish thing. He called the lady at lunchtime alone and said, let this be the last time. We are here to work, not to be offering this and that. And that. And the lady said, so are you saying you are not interested? Or are you saying... Well, by God's grace, he managed to drive her out of his office, but he showed me that. I said that this is a very foolish thing. But brother, sometimes, you know, when you see a woman, you don't process properly. When you see a woman, all your things go out. Like something with Delilah. The woman has deceived you 3 times. What is your strength? You tell her, the Philistines come. You see that this, 3 times. But it's like that lap, you know, when you lie there, all the sense, it disappears. It evaporates. It doesn't work. So he sent the lady out and I said, never ever meet a lady alone. She could even have stripped naked like Potiphar's wife, start shouting and say, he's sexually harassing me. He said, hey, Sister Mami, I've not thought about that. I said, I know your type. So they face a lot of battles out there. And sometimes even in church. Amen. Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. It wasn't just Esther's connections. She said to Mordecai, yes, I'm the beauty queen. Yes, I've been selected above everybody. But when it comes to influencing a king, it takes prayer. So he says, go, fast ye for me 3 days and nights. Many of us like to hire prophets and pastors to do the praying and the seeing and the comsaying for us. The prophetic is a gift that God brings, but it doesn't take away your responsibility to enter the closet and to seek God's face for that edict that the king has made concerning you. But these days, Christians are very lazy. So they say to the prophet, see something about me and tell me. And there are a lot of familiar spirits. Familiar spirits can tell you a lot of things. Saul consulted a woman who knew, was able to call the spirit of Samuel to come and speak and tell Saul what will happen to him. And it all happened. But the Bible says she was a woman with a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is an evil spirit that has been with you for a long time and knows a lot about you. But Esther didn't say, you know how I'm in the palace. You go. You are the prayer warriors. Go and pray for me. She said that. But she said, I and my maidens also in the palace. We will also fast and pray. Then I will go to the king. Although there's a law against what I'm going to do. I am going to pray for the person in authority. I am going to seek God's face concerning that. And there's going to be a change. Amen. Most of us will say, Mordecai, go and organize the people. That's for me. Christians today, they can't even fast though. And Jesus said, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. And I tell my husband, maybe we were raised by a great generation. A generation that when you get born again today, the next day you are fasting. And you don't even know that it's not normal. You know that that's the Christian life. That's how it is. You know? So you are used to fasting, praying, using the name of Jesus, the authority of the believer. But the Christians of today, when you say fast, okay, break at 12, and then you are 20, you are breaking at 12 for what? What medical problems do you have? But Esther said, go and pray for me. Why? Because she recognized that the one in authority was the only one who could reverse that edict against the Jews. And her prayer worked. You see, you want to pray other topics. Oh God, give me this. Oh God, it's okay. He said we should bring our needs to him. But what is hampering that thing from reaching you is the person in authority over your life. Amen. So Esther did the right thing. When you look at Moses, it is a king who rose up and did not know Joseph and said, I've changed the law. These people are growing too powerfully. And they are very mighty. He said, they may soon be mightier than us. Every nation fears those who come from outside and prosper. And it's not now. It's been since the time of Moses. And then he said, okay, I'm going to change the law. Every baby boy that's born is going to be killed. Kings and those in authority. They have power. And they can misuse power. And they can fight the church of God through the power that they have. And that's why God said, there's a higher power than them. And if you would tap into that higher power, your life can be different. Amen. Amen. And so although they killed every boy that came with Moses, the Bible says when the time of promise drew near, the agitation also drew near. And then his mother just saw and said, he's a goodly child. So I'll keep him. I am sure that it took the Holy Spirit to know a baby to be a goodly child. How will you know? But Satan also knows. So he goes through the person in authority over your life. So that before even the destiny God has given you will unfold, the king should pass a law so that you will not even live. You will be finished. You will be finished before you are even born. He attacks you even from the womb. And he doesn't come directly. He goes through kings and those in authority over our lives. When you look at the birth of Jesus, the same thing happened. Matthew 2 verse 20, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem And in all the course thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Amen.
If you want to destroy Jesus, don't kill his mother. Don't kill his father, because he may still continue to live. Make a law that affects him and make a law that ensures that he will not be alive. So he makes a law that when I calculate from the wise men or that he may be around 2 years and under. So every baby boy from around 2 years and under is to be slaughtered, kings and those in authority. Why? Because Satan can see the Messiah to save us from hell, free us from all chains. What he's coming to do is deadly. How shall I attack him? Through a king making a law that kills what God is doing. We are in trouble. But thank God that there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Amen. Acts chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But what? But what? Gossiping. Conversations. Discussions. Looking for who we have connections with. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. The Bible says Herod was the one in power. And when he saw that he had killed James, the brother of the Lord, and it pleased the Jews, it was bringing votes from Ohio and Iowa and the caucuses. It was bringing in votes. He saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded. He stretched forth his hand to take Peter also. The Bible didn't say that when James was taken, prayer was made. But when Peter was taken, I suppose the church was shocked when James was taken. But when Peter was taken, said, it's too much now. So the Bible says, but prayer was made for Peter by the church unto God. So Herod, yes, he imprisoned Peter. He felt very powerful, whatever. But the prayer of the church, the king in authority was persecuting the church. But the prayer of the church brought Peter out. So prayer was made of the church unceasingly. Unceasingly. Amen. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, they brought Peter out miraculously, angels. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. What was happening? Many were gathered together gossiping. Many were gathered together drinking tea. Many were gathered together having business meetings. Many were gathered together praying. These days, Christians don't gather in a house to pray. When I was growing up as a Christian, if a Christian came to visit you, before he leaves, there's prayer. If a preacher comes to visit you, he comes to share the word. Not that, it's not even, it was so natural. So today I learned in my quiet time that this, what did you also learn? That was how. Even my husband, that's what annoyed me about him. Because when I was in Lagos, when I meet him, and he says, hello, sister. I say, hello, brother Doug. Hello, sister Adelaide. How are you? I say, I'm fine. I say, how are you? Oh, kebala mashande ne mama. Kelende ne mamaya mora mashande. I'm a born again Christian. I'm going to heaven. I'm bought with the blood. Demons tremble when I say, hey. But why? Oh. And the friend through whom I knew him, I said that this guy, he will never be my friend. He thinks that he's the only one going to heaven. What is that? And then later he became my friend, and then he will be saying, okay, sister, so should a Christian go to an unbeliever party or not? And I would say, well, it depends. So I said, depends on what? Okay, let's meet here tomorrow. Come with your pro-jam verses. I'll come with my anti-jam verses. Then he found my room. When he comes to my room, I'm talking to people, you know, these type of pseudo-Christians. We are chatting, talking about the economy. And then he says, last week we were talking about the new creature. We said that when a man is born again, I said, ah, who spoils conversations like this? What type of person is that? But prayer makes a difference. And we all have to believe God to have the grace to pray. And also to pray biblical prayers. The church was gathered together praying. Praying. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one of the characters we can look at in praying for kings, and I've shown you that kings tried to affect the Jews in the time of Esther, in the time of Jesus, in the time of Peter, in the time of David, in the time of Moses. That's what was going on. But the last classic case will be in the book of Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. The king has a dream. He calls people to interpret. They are not able to interpret. Then they say there's a guy called Daniel who can interpret. They call Daniel, and Daniel says, I have to seek God before I'll know what to say. And his life is at stake. You see, people in power are so powerful. And in those days, even more so, they could just take your life away from you. You've had a dream. I can't interpret it. You said, for my life. Life for life. Kings and those in authority. You know? So, as Daniel is told that, the Bible says in Daniel 2:16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. 17, then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his friends. What do you talk to your friends about? Do you share prayer topics with your friends? Are your friends spiritual enough that you can go and say, oh, I went into the king and this has happened. Let's seek God's face concerning. Begin to choose your friends correctly.
Amen.
And Daniel told his companions that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Amen.
Amen.
And God answered that prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And gave Daniel what the dream was. But it was when he retired to his closet. When he went home, he didn't waste time calling people to say what tragedy has befallen him. We like sympathy too much sometimes. And we don't go to the right place. Instead of going to the throne, we go to the phone. But let us learn to go to the throne first. And when that happened, Daniel was set free. And then another time, they were thrown into the oven because they said that they will not bow to the king and his things. Amen. Daniel 3:28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. And have changed the king's word. And have changed the king's word. How did they change the king's word? Through prayer. Pray for those in authority. It doesn't matter that the law is cast in iron. Your prayer can change the king's word. It can change the word of the person in authority over you. It can change the king's word. And this is the king speaking. And changed the king's word. How did they do that? Did they go for debates? Did they look for petition and ask for more signatures? By prayer, they changed the king's word. You too can change the word of the kings in your life.
Amen.
By prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Then when you look at Daniel 6, 4-6, then the presidents, note the hierarchy, The president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, who are these men? The presidents and the princes, those in authority. Amen. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Three powerful presidents, princes, and the king. They are having a meeting concerning you. Amen. Daniel 6 and verse, is it 15? Presidents, princes, governors, counselors, captains. Daniel 6 verse 7. Are you there? Presidents, princes, governors, counselors, captains. They did what? Have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Look, things are happening. The king is not enough now. Because it has seen that when you prayed, the king, the word of the king was changed. So now, presidents, princes, counselors, captains, and the king himself. The conspiracy against your life is not an easy thing. But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 2, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. And what were they establishing? A royal statute. To make a firm decree. Do you know what a firm decree is? It's a decree that cannot be easily changed, easily amended. I did legislative drafting. I know very well how a law must be amended. But this one, in the Constitution, we have what you call entrenched provisions. Those ones, you can't just amend them. It has to be by a 2/3 majority. There has to be a referendum. There has to be so many things before. So when they say a firm decree, they are laws and they are laws. Some laws can be amended easily. But when it's an entrenched provision, it's not easy. Amen. And some of them cannot be changed at all. So to make a firm decree concerning who? That whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. They are attacking their prayer life. Your prayer life. And it's presidents, counselors, captains, kings, princes. Make a firm decree. That whoever does not pray to the king is not going to live. Kings and those in authority. Verse 10. What was Daniel's reaction? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Your house can become a place of prayer. Your house can become an altar. Your house, because Christians are blessed. Their God is everywhere. They don't have to make a journey and go around some something and have stampedes to find him. Amen.
Amen.
And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And cried and complained and prayed. He didn't cry, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 20, and when he came to the den, the king threw them into the den. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found on me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Amen. They were thrown into the lions' den. But that prayer made a difference. He said, my God has come through for me. That same God will come through for you.
Amen.
But you have to open your spiritual eyes
and see that there are people in authority. Sometimes you have favor with your boss. Suddenly, somebody else has come to the office, and before you know, things are changing. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because when they go for staff meeting and they are judging, so how is it that you are a hard worker, you do your best, but because of certain political moves, somebody is going to say something. Why don't you enter your closet and condemn those tongues in the boardroom that rise up against you? As a child of God, you have that power. Amen. The final stages of Daniel. He's by a river seeking God's face because Israel has sinned. And Daniel is praying to God to please spare Israel for all their sins. And he decides that he will seek God's face. Amen. Daniel 9 verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. What the verse in Timothy said, for kings and all those I know, all prayers, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings. And Daniel set his face to seek prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made supplication and my confession and said, Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping covenant, we have sinned. Note the fact that he said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. Neither have we heard what you have said. Number 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. When you don't listen to God speaking through your prophets, your kings, your princes, in accordance with what he is saying, your life is affected. Then Daniel prays, let your anger and all that. Verse 17, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. Verse 20. What happens in verse 20? And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Next verse. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening ovation. Amen. Then Daniel 10, 12 to 13. This is what Gabriel said to Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Gabriel said, the day you prayed, the answer was released. And I flew swiftly to bring the answer. But when I was coming down from heaven with the answer, not a servant, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me. Even in the spiritual realm, kings and those who are in authority are operating. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers. Those are the people in authority. It's not the people even down here doing the things. The people in authority are even in the realm of the spirit. And when we pray, the answer is supposed to come. Another king has come to fight the answer. To fight the answer. One day, the answer was given. But 21 days, there was a fight in the heavenlies. Amen? Michael, one of the chief princes. God also has chief princes. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Gabriel the angel is saying, I was coming with the answer. Then the prince of Persia withstood me, but Michael, God also released a higher principality. The chief of princes came to help me. Gabriel was a powerful angel. He came to announce the birth of Jesus and all that. Coming down with a prayer request, he was withstood for 21 days. Then you, what can you do? By your prayer, send a chief prince to come and help your Gabriel so that the answer can come. Amen, church. God help us all. As we snore, watch unnecessary television, use unnecessary time on the phone, may we go into our closets. And I remained there. With who? The kings of Persia. I thought it was only one. They have also reinforced their position. I remained there with the kings of Persia. At first it was the king of Persia. Do you remember? Uh-huh. Other kings, subdivisional. Nkosuo yini and all have come to. Verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And it led to so many revelations about what God was going to do with his people in the future. Because he prayed. Daniel faced a lot of things from kings and those in authority. Amen. Amen. I believe that many wives should intercede for their husbands. Not long ago, I was with a group of business elders, we call them, business men. I was telling them that, you know, I was talking to your wives and I said, they need to cover you with prayer because I think that when you go to work, a lot of things happen. And some of them are like investment bankers. And they say, hey, a lot of things happen. And one of them said to me, if I even showed me the text, somebody would send an anonymous text. What are you doing this afternoon? Would you like some sex for lunch break? He says, hey, who is this? Very lewd. So he was very angry. And then he decided to trace from the phone company where that number was coming from. It was somebody in his team in the bank. So, but he did a very foolish thing. He called the lady at lunchtime alone and said, let this be the last time. We are here to work, not to be offering this and that and that. And the lady said, so are you saying you are not interested? Or are you saying... Well, by God's grace, he managed to drive out of his office, but he showed me that. I said that this is a very foolish thing. But brothers, sometimes, you know, when you see a woman, you don't process properly. So anyway, when you see a woman, all your things go out. Like something with Delilah. The woman has deceived you 3 times. What is your strength? You tell her, the Philistines come. You see that this. 3 times, but it's like that lap, no? When you lie there, all the sense, it disappears, it evaporates, it doesn't work. So he sent the lady out and I said, never ever meet a lady alone. She could even have stripped naked like Potiphar's wife, start shouting and say, he's sexually harassing me. He said, hey, sister mommy, I've not thought about that. I said, I know your type. So they face a lot of battles out there. And sometimes even in church. When I was in Philly yesterday, somebody was saying that somebody is propositioning the person and the question and answer. And it happens, you know. But how can you cover your husband except by prayer? You can't go everywhere your husband is going. Some of you, you have made yourself FBI and CIA. When he comes at the end of the day, you take the phone and you are looking at the numbers. Hey, which number is this? It called you five times. Wait, but he can also erase all the recent calls. So only the Holy Ghost can keep a person. Only the Holy Ghost can keep a home. Only the Holy Ghost can keep a wife. Because this year, I said in Maryland yesterday, I am ashamed to say that I have dealt with a number of female infidelities, which never was. I don't know where we are. And also when they are called, there's even no repentance. Do you know what the girls in the bank do? I said, what are you saying? And this person you are going to follow, he won't take you anywhere. I never had that type of counseling. But in the recent times, I have such counseling. And the brothers rather are saying, oh, it can work. Don't go. And they are saying, no. I'm looking and I'm like, what? Is it real? I went to somebody, she cries. And then after that, she say, my lady Reverend, I'm going. She say, my lady Reverend, I'm going. It's true. Very bad stories. Some of them, after I came, I was crying. My husband said, what is it? I said, the story is bad. How can we break through impenetrable situations? It is because a certain king is in authority over them. Even our children. And it will take God to bring them to the right place. First Samuel 25, and I'm ending on that. Amen. 1 Samuel 25:23. Help us, Jesus. Are we there? You all know the story of Abigail. And unfortunately, she was married to a fool. Your head affects you. Your head affects you. And that is why you must cover your head with prayer. That's why God says that prayer should be made for kings and for all those that are in authority over you. Because your head affects you. Nabal was a fool. The Bible says he was a very great man and he was very rich. And yet he was a fool. So sometimes you are successful in your work, in your money, but in the things of God, you are a fool. Amen. And David sent his men to ask Nabal, oh, if you could give us some food for our men. Because they had been acting as security guards around what he had in the wilderness and all that. And he was sharing sheep and giving his servants food. It wasn't like it was an out of occasion time. But he said, oh, people just get up and they behave anyhow. I'm not going to look at do nothing, you know. And Abigail was told by the servant that this is what has happened. Now, even though Abigail was not there when it happened, David had decided to come with his army to kill the whole of the household of Nabal. How did that decision come about? Because of Nabal's response to David. Did Abigail have any hand in that? No. So often, marriage, when the Bible says the two shall be one, whatever decision the other person takes affects you. Whether his financial decisions or he says, we are going to live here. Before you know, you don't even have a job. Amen? Sometimes you went to school. Sometimes you were even mates. You were smarter than him. But because he's your head, you came to America. And somebody had to work and get the master's first. And since the man is the head and you were looking after babies, you graciously allowed and then he began to work. And then before you knew, your life had changed. How did that come about? Kings and those in authority over your life. Amen. So when it happened like that for Abigail, she decided, you see, when I look at Abigail, I always see what I wouldn't have done. If I come home and I hear that David and his men came, they came to ask for their neighbor has been very nasty to them. I am not likely to go to the kitchen and start to get things. I may do that secondary. But the first thing is I have to sort that Nabal out. So it is likely that I will go to the bedroom and say, but what is this you have done? Why? Don't you know gratitude? This David, what has he done to us? By this nya 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 nya, When I have finished, the army will be at the door. And that is why Abigail was a woman of good understanding. Amen. Because we always feel that we have to sort out things, and especially verbally. How could you do that? How much does he ask for? The little that he's asking for. By that time, the army has reached, and then it will spray the whole. But Abigail didn't do that. She said, I better sort out the situation before I come and argue. Arguments often don't lead anywhere. And so she just saddled the horse. She took raisins. She took figs. She took water. She took bread. She took all that she could take and said, go ahead of me, and I'm also coming. And when she saw David, the Bible says she got down hastily from her donkey. Amen? Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. All these are gestures of prayer and intercession. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. By I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which I have brought, blah, 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 blah. All the gestures she's making are gestures of prayer. And she keeps telling David, now therefore, my Lord, I pray. Now therefore, she took upon herself the iniquity of her husband. She said, upon me, let this iniquity be. Amen. Amen. He said, don't regard Nabal, but upon me. It's the same attitude Daniel had. The Bible says there was no blemish in Daniel. But when he was praying for Israel, he said, Lord, we have sinned. One of the ways to effectively pray for the man in authority over your life, or whoever is in authority over your life, is to have a humble spirit of identifying with the sins of the person. So when we are praying and we don't want to be too self-righteous, let's say, Lord, my husband and I have sinned against you. We don't worship you like we should. We don't pay tithes like we should. We don't fear you like we should. But let your mercy cover us. I think that comes off more as a gracious and humble way of approaching God than God, look at him and look at all his foolishness. But if we take the iniquity like Abigail did, say, upon me, let the iniquity of Nabal be. Lord, forgive him for his blunders. Forgive him for the things he's done that he shouldn't do. Forgive him for his meanness, Lord. Let your mercy. That even helps you to pray in love. And that brings Gabriel's and Michael's and speedy recoveries to the prayers that we make. In conclusion, I beseech therefore that prayers, supplications, intercessions. Intercession is standing in the place of the person and asking God for help or for mercy. Amen. My final verse that I want to leave with you, those in authority or in charge of your life, in authority over your life, is very, very important. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59:14-16. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. It's like everything is bad. So if you are departing from evil, you make yourself a prey. People are going to rather attack you. And the Lord saw it and displeased him, and there was no judgment. And here is my key verse. And he saw, that is God, that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. God looked and he wondered that there was no man, there was no intercessor. An intercessor is like Abigail. You take the sin of the person or of people upon yourself and you pray about it. When I got disturbed about all these things and I realized that not everybody was disturbed, I said maybe it's a special calling or a special grace and I have to recognize it. So when I went into my closet, I said, Lord, we have sinned against you. We have perverted the institution of marriage. We have found our own way. But let your mercy reach us and let not evil triumph over good. I pray that you will rise up and be a praying woman, a praying man, a praying boy, a praying girl. Pray for kings. Pray for husbands. Pray for those in authority. Pray for pastors so that God will keep them and so that we, you and I, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Stand to your feet, please.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.